Good morning. For our communion time, talk a little bit about, try to link it to Bill's sermon today about mission and vision. And I know it's in the bulletin every week, but sometimes we miss it. It's the first thing in the bulletin. Talks about the church's mission and vision. Just cover that real quick. You know, our mission is to connect people to Jesus. And the vision, be passionate pursuers of Christ, be models of truth and love, and be involved in our community. And I think today we're also dedicating the new edition, right? So that's a good thing, because that new edition allows us to connect people to Jesus with the Sunday schools going on in the back, as it's used throughout the week. It also helps us be involved in the community. We have community events in there as well. So it's a good thing that we have that edition. And I encourage you either before or maybe after lunch to go back there and check it out. But I'll talk a little bit about, you know, what's the church. You know, the church, even with the new edition, isn't about the brick and mortar. It's not the walls. It's not the studs. It's not the nails. It's not the chairs, not the stage. It's not all this technology we use for worship. You know, it's us. It's you, it's me, and it's all of us. You know, we are the church, you know, led by Christ. And it got me thinking about what's Christ's vision and mission. And so I came up with a couple things for us to think about today. So the vision is for us to be part of God's eternal family. You know, why? You know, because God loves us. You know, he wants us to be with him. But there's a problem. And the problem is that we're all sinners. Every one of us. And as sinners, we can't be with God. And the mission for Christ was to provide a pathway where our sins can be forgiven. And of course, this path is through his resurrection. The gift of Christ's grace and our acceptance of this gift and his sacrifice to take on our sins so that we may be reborn as adopted children of God with our sins forgiven. So think about that as something to consider as we're going through communion. And as we pass out the communion, think about the gift and how our acceptance of his gift fulfills his mission in us and God's vision for you and me to be with him for all time. And once we pass out the elements, I'll come back up and follow through with communion. So the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And after he'd given thanks, he broke the bread and he said, "Take it, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
It's our offering time, and before we take up the offering, I want to remind you that unless you designate it elsewhere, all of the money that is given today will go to the building fund. For those of you who are visiting with us, we do this twice a year. On our anniversary, we give to the building fund. On Easter, we give all the money that we take in that day to missions. And so I just want to let you know and remind you of that. So let's pray. Father, we do say thank you for all you've done for us. That worship, the fact that our sins are covered, that no matter what we've done, no matter where we've been, it's all erased, and thank you for that. Thank you for your constant supply for our needs, even though sometimes we wonder where the next penny's going to come from. You always promise, you've always promised, and you always will supply. And so help us to be expectant of that, knowing that you're going to supply our needs, but also help us to be grateful for doing that. And Lord, as we give these tithes and offerings to you today, we just simply give them to you. They're yours anyway, and so we give these to you, we dedicate them to you. And we ask that you might be with those who give and help them to know the pleasure of giving to you. And we ask that you'll help us to be good stewards of this money. Help us never to take it for granted, never to use it unwisely. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a Bible this morning, would you please turn with me to Revelation chapter 2. Now I'm going to read these first six verses of this, the letter to the church at Ephesus, but we're not going to spend a lot of time there. There is a phrase that I'm going to pick out because, and I'll explain why. But did you notice that during the music that we had some young ones, some babies that really, really enjoyed music? There's a couple of them, and I was cool with that. And I have a sneaking suspicion that God says, "Yes, they get it." they may not be conscious of what they're doing, but He said, "If we become like little children, we'll see the kingdom of God." So anyway, thank you for being with us today, and let's read these first six verses, and then we'll get started. "To the angel of the church in Ephesus write the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you've not grown weary, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Yet this you have, you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Let's pray, please. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this celebration time. Thank you for your hand upon this church fellowship for 14 years. And as we talk today about why we are here, I pray that you'll just burn us, burn it in us anew as to why we exist. And then find hearts that are ready to hear what you have to say. And I pray that you will be with me and Ryan as we speak. And as we do that, I pray that the folks here will see Jesus and Jesus only. For it's in his name I pray. Amen. Martin Luther made a quote that I read that really hit me. It's the promises of God that make the church, and not the church that makes the promises of God. Now, what he was basically saying is the promises of God have always been here. From the very beginning, God promised there would be a church, that he would establish his church, and that his promises would sustain the church. But we also need to remember what he told the Ephesians. You have forgotten your first love. Every year, Ryan and I team teach on our anniversary to remind you again about our mission and our vision. Some of you have heard this before, and so you're going to say, well, now I can go to sleep. I hope you won't do that, but instead I hope that what we share with you will be new and fresh. Those of you who are new, I hope that it kind of stirs you, gives you an idea of what we're all about. But over the last year or so, as you know, we've built an addition. But over the last several years, I've been reading articles about how churches are oftentimes devastated when a building project takes place. What happens a lot of times are it's people begin to spat with each other. People begin to complain. They begin to get tired and they get exhausted. And it's easy to get sidetracked. It's easy as leaders and as pastors to get sidetracked. Now, I want to make something very, very clear to you from the very start. In all of this, neither Ryan and I, nor Ryan and Diane and I, have ever been angry at each other. You can walk into our office and you will not find us in three separate rooms because we're not talking with each other. In fact, we specifically make sure that doesn't happen. We go to lunch together occasionally, and we leave shop talk back at home, back at the office. We just go to eat, and generally it's Chinese, so we're too busy eating, and they're too busy using these things to do much of anything. Since I use my hands, I can't very well talk like that. And then the leader's been very gracious to us because of the stress that we have had over the last couple years. They have been so gracious by saying, okay, Bill, you take Joe, Jim, you take Diana, Ryan, you take Hope and the kids and go to lunch together. And so as families, we go to lunch about two or three times a year and just celebrate each other. We leave any shop talk back in the office and we just have fun. And so I want you to know right up front that there is no rift between the three of us, okay? We love each other. We love each other. And they tolerate me more than I think that than anything. But one of the things that we need to understand as a church body, that unless we remind ourselves constantly why we are here, it's easy to get sidetracked. I think any organization needs to do that, but especially the church. And so that's why we do what we do once a year at least. So I want to talk to you this morning, and then Ryan's going to come up and finish it out. But I want to talk to you this morning, first of all, about our primary emphasis. In Revelation 2, the passage that I read, we read the story of the church at Ephesus, and it says there that they left their first love. Now, what exactly does that mean, they left their first love? A lot of pastors will use this phrase, left your first love, to chide the people, to degrade them, to threaten them, to get people to wake up. I'm not going to do that today. What I want to do is take a cursory glance at this letter to the Ephesians and then move on. One of the things we notice is that in verse 2 it says, I know your works, your toil, your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, found them to be false. I know you're enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you've not grown weary. In other words, the church at Ephesus was doing well, but they had one fatal flaw. And here it is. The church at Ephesus had a fatal flaw. They had doctrinal orthodoxy. They knew what they believed. They continued to serve Christ. But their service had become nothing more than mechanical action. In other words, they did not because of their love, but because it was expected and required. When a church gets to the point where you and I are serving because it's expected or required, then we're in dangerous ground. That's why Jesus used John to tell the church at Ephesus that you have abandoned your first love. Now, whether that means that they have left their love for Jesus, they had left their love for people, or maybe a combination of both, that as they left their love for Jesus, they also lost their love for people, I don't know. It's just that somewhere along the line, everything they did became mechanical. Everything they did became, it was required to do. They had to do it. It was expected of them. And whenever we get into that position, we are in deep trouble. So here's the question that I asked myself as I was studying. Have I left my first love? Is what I am doing, am I doing it because it's expected of me, required of me, or because I want to? Am I worshiping because it's expected of me? Am I reading my Bible because it's expected and required of me? Am I serving because it's expected and required of me? Am I being a pastor because it's expected and required of me? Or have I lost my first love? You see, no matter how you look at that, it comes down to this. My greatest passion, your greatest passion, your number one passion, as we will see, should be to be in love with Jesus. So that leads me then to say this. It's easy to lose sight of our mission. And our mission, as Wayne has already mentioned to you, our mission of OVCF is to connect people to Jesus. If we lose sight of that mission, we're in trouble. If we lose sight of that mission, we become nothing more than a country club. If we lose sight of that mission, we are nothing more than a rest home. Someone has said the church is a hospital for sinners, not a rest home for saints. And if we lose sight of our mission, and that is to connect people to Jesus, then we are nothing more than a rest home and not a hospital. But that leads us to our second idea, and that is our secondary vision. And I have things differently. I look at things differently, and I do this because it's probably because I'm a simple person and I need to explain myself to myself, which is dangerous. I've always seen the mission as why I exist. I go back to what Jesus said. Why did Jesus come? He didn't come to give us a good life. He didn't come to say hallelujah. He didn't come to say, I'm going to give you the greatest life in the world, the best thing on earth. The Bible says Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And therefore, our mission should be to connect people to Jesus because that's why he came. But the question that I ask myself then is, how do I accomplish that? You see, Philippians chapter 3 says that I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings. How do we make that possible? Number one, this is vision number one. We need to be passionate pursuers of Jesus. Someone has said, and I kind of got ahead of myself here with the quote, without a vision, there's rarely direction. Without direction, there are no goals. And without goals, there is no progress. But somewhere along the line, you have to take stock of where you're at. So our first goal, our first vision should be to be passionate pursuers of Jesus. Here's why I say that. You cannot take somebody where you yourself are not. Let me kind of illustrate it this way. One of my bucket lists is to go to Alaska. Okay, that's one of my dreams, is to go to Alaska. But you don't want me to be your tour guide when we go to Alaska. Why? Because I've never been there before. I could take you into the deepest, darkest Yukon. I could take you to the Arctic Circle and you say, Bill, this is in Alaska. Well, it sure is cold up here. It must be Alaska. But you see, I cannot take you where I have not been. You cannot take people to Jesus. You cannot take people to His Word if you yourself have not been there. And that's why Paul's words, that I may know Christ. And what he uses there is the idea of, I want to know Him intimately. If you want to know, if you want people to know Jesus intimately, guess what? It starts with you. And that's why I put so much emphasis on a quiet time at home. That's why you and I need to have this time, even if it's 5 minutes set aside, where we spend time with God alone. Even if it's, God, I'm going to pray for my family right now. Whatever it is, you spend time with God alone, because you cannot take people where you yourself are not. Now, I want to help you do that in 2019. My theme for the year is unsinkable. And I'm going to be careful at this point, because I went back and looked at last year. Our theme was Uncharted. And I, on this day, I told you what I was going to preach on in 2018. Didn't happen. Except for the first 2 months. Or no, the first month when I preached on Romans 12. That's the only thing that I said we were going to talk about that I preached on. But my plan is the first 2 months is to talk about idol, I-D-O-L, drift. How we allow idols to cause our faith to drift away. Sometime during the year, I want to talk about heroes. One of those heroes is Joseph, and I want to spend some time on Joseph, maybe 4 weeks. And I want to talk about Daniel. I want to talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I want to talk about Elijah. I want to talk about Stephen. I want to talk about people in the Bible, characters in the Bible, that show they were unsinkable. And they are actually our heroes. And I want to talk about Romans chapter 8, which to me is the greatest chapter in the Bible. And I want to spend some time in Psalm 27. I want to spend some time around Easter, either talking about the seven sayings of Christ or going through Isaiah 52 and 53. I can't say a whole lot more about that because I probably won't reach them. But I do want to preach through Ephesians as well. That's one of my plans. And then we offer you small groups to grow your faith. We have 4 that are operating, and we encourage you to get involved in a small group. So vision number one is to be passionate pursuers of Jesus. Vision number two is to be models of truth and love. To be models of truth and love. One of Paul's boldest statements, and one of the hardest to grasp, is when he says, follow me as I follow Christ. That knocks the wind out of my sails, you know? Because basically Paul was saying, I'm going to be an example to you. Follow me. May I say something? Don't follow me. That is how hard that statement hits me. Follow me as I follow Christ, as I'm an example before you, be an example along with me. But let's look at that another way also, because Paul's approach to ministry was a no-holds-barred ministry. He didn't care about the opposition. How many times do you read in the scriptures that he was kicked out of a town? Because he told the truth. And yet, hear this please, and yet the church that was the most troubled church of all, that he had the strongest words for, was the Corinthian church. And yet, right smack dab in all of that stuff, he gives us the greatest chapter on love that you can find. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't do this, and love doesn't puff itself up. You see, Paul's ministry not only was bold, but at the same time, it was filled with love. You've heard me say this. All truth and no love makes a church harsh and legalistic. All love and no truth makes a church simply sentimentalist. Sentimental. There you go. Makes it just nothing more than a sentimental church. Well, okay. To be a model. What is so funny? To be a model requires both. Now you got me flustered here. It requires that we love, but it also requires that we love with truth. It also requires that we have truth, but that we do it with love. And guaranteed, we're going to continue to love those who are different than us. I mean, some of you love me, don't you? I'm being told by someone very, 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 very close to me, and I won't mention Joe's name, who says I'm very different. Tammy's words are, "Dad, you're not right." We're supposed to love people who are different than us. And we may not agree with them in their lifestyle. We may not agree with them even theologically, but we're still supposed to love. We don't compromise the truth, but we still love. We can't stop calling sin, sin. But as we call sin, sin, we need to still love. You don't sit there and tell somebody, "Hey, you're going to hell," and laugh about it. D.L. Moody once said, "You should never preach about hell without tears in your eyes." And we should never, ever judge somebody out of hatred and out of malice. But if we make a decision or we show that the Bible says something is a sin, we need to do that with love. Besides, I think we also need to keep in mind there are some other sins that we need to be aware of, like gossip and lying and cheating and profanity and putting God out of our lives. Do you think those are pretty important sins? So keep in mind that all sin is ugly in God's sight. But even as sin is ugly in God's sight, we're still supposed to love. And I promise you, I will continue to preach the truth, but I will mix it with a lot of grace. Because I don't think you can preach the truth without having grace, without love. And so I'm going to continue to do that. We won't stop preaching the truth, but we won't stop, and we won't start compromising either as we do it. Vision number three is to be involved in our community, and I've asked Ryan to come up and finish it out for us.
I didn't get a chance to test this before the service here, so is the mic working there, Ray? Cool. Ray and I and Mike St. John just got back from Church Sound Boot Camp this past week, and I was a little intimidated because I went with two Army vets who had been through boot camp before, so I wasn't sure what to expect. And we did find out that if you have two wireless receivers operating on the same transmitter at the same time, that that'll create a problem. So thanks for turning your mic off, and that means he can't interrupt me now for the next hour and a half while I speak.
Oh, yes, I can.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. So as Bill said earlier, without vision, there's rarely direction. Without direction, there are no goals, and without goals, there can be no progress. And we already talked about our first two goals, to be passionate pursuers of Jesus and to be models of truth and love. And so I think if we do both of those two goals well, that the third goal should come almost naturally. It should be a response that just kind of happens out of that first two goals. And I say almost naturally because it does take some effort and intentionality. But for the most part, you think about the byproducts that are the fruit of the Spirit that come from those first two points of being passionate pursuers of Jesus and being models of truth and love. And we can scribble these out here, that you have compassion, and you have hospitality, and you have kindness, and you have selflessness. And when those character traits begin to embed themselves in us, because that is the fingerprint of God upon us, then what else can we do except to be involved in our community in a way that pushes people? And I say pushes, I don't mean like shoves people, but I mean gently draws them to Jesus in a way that connects them to Him. And we are essentially the agent of God through Christ and what His redemptive work accomplished on the cross with the placement of His Spirit in us to be that for the community in which we live. So I think if we put all of those attributes in our Spirit-led, Scripture-guided relationship with Jesus into gear, we come to three things. And the first one is service. As I was pondering all of the areas and making sure that as I was just reflecting back over the years, the areas in which OVCF has served in our community, I actually had to par the list down or we would be here for 45 minutes. And the verse from Matthew chapter 20 of the words of Jesus came to mind that says, "Whoever wants to be great in the kingdom of God must be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." If we're going to be models of truth and love and we're going to be pursuers of Jesus, we're going to serve also. So how is OVCF reaching out into the community to serve? Well, Bill already talked about next week we have a day of service, and this will be a series of days of service now that have accomplished this. If we were winning Super Bowls on every day of service that we've done, we would run out of fingers to put Super Bowl rings on, so to speak, because this has become a part of who we are. It's become a part of our culture to get out in the community and serve. Backpack Buddies is another thing that started last year in our community. The middle school reached out not to every church, but to OVCF because they had seen the example of you all serving in the community. And they thought maybe, just maybe, these folks will want to come alongside us and help us meet this need in our community. And so we've been providing food for those students that otherwise would go hungry on the weekends to go home. We're providing and collecting right now peanut butter and crackers for them to take home over Christmas break so that they have something to take home with them and fill their stomachs. Bill and I have been involved in a program called Real Men Read now for several years. I enjoy every month I get to come into Mrs. King's class. Bill gets to go to Spencer Elementary to Mrs. Lee's class and read to kindergartners. And it's, speaking for both of us, we really enjoy being mauled by tiny people. Well, they're really tiny to Bill. They're not so tiny to me. That's my peer group right there. But we get to go into the school and we get to read to those students and have an impact in that way in those students' lives. And it's so fun when you run into them at Babs. You always have to explain yourself to the parents when the kid comes up to you and hugs you. They go, why is he hugging that strange man? I promise you, I had a background check. I'm in Mrs. King's class. Okay, then it clicks. But it's a way for us to have an impact. OVCF has hosted Dine with a Doc here. There's another thing that we host here every year too, which is a legislative breakfast that's during the springtime, during the legislative sessions. And so those are opportunities for us to provide a place for the community to come to our site where we are and then also connect with one another and be involved in their community, either legislatively or getting the medical advice that they need from a doctor without cost. We supply the local schools every year. We take up a collection in the summertime of school supplies, and we drop those off I had the opportunity to personally deliver to the middle school and to the high school the school supplies, a backpack full of notebooks and pencils and all the things that might otherwise students might go without. Every year we host a community Thanksgiving lunch and a community Christmas breakfast out of the Lions Club that reaches out to folks who otherwise have no family to go and fellowship with. And many of you serve and get there early and give up a big part of your holiday to be there. Some of you come in very early for Christmas and you spend your Christmas morning serving breakfast to folks who otherwise might be home alone. And then some of others of you deliver those meals out to the uttermost parts of the earth, even out beyond Coal City and I mean, all over the place, those meals go. And alongside that, I don't want to neglect this because this is so important. I have witnessed personally in my involvement in those days, many of you come and go, oh, wow, there's so many in the kitchen. What can I do that I would just crowd the kitchen if I was there? And so you see another person come in and sit down that's alone, and you sit and talk with them. And my tendency as a doer is to go, well, the doing is more important than the sitting and the talking. I'm not really having an impact here. And it's reversed. It's the opposite of that. It's that personal connection that you're having with that individual that is right there, the lens in front of their face, the person of Jesus sitting with them. We've done youth days of service also, by the way. So the youth group has tackled different projects in the community, helping out Head Start, the Center for Women's Ministry. We power washed the Blue House 1 year, which was very wet. Don't give Donnie Mader a power washer and expect to stay dry in the process. We've gone to international. Scott, does he do that to you when you're at work? I'm just curious. Okay, that's good. Well, I'm not sure if it's the beard, the plaid, or the size, but I don't have any of those working for me, unfortunately. So we've gone up to International Disaster Emergency Services and packed meals, and we've done that for several years now. We packed 10,000 meals just a few weeks ago. That'll be going overseas to aid with folks who don't have the means to provide for themselves because of famine or because of natural disaster or because of political situations. Some of the meals that we pack may be going to an orphanage in Haiti that also has a school that's bloomed out of that orphanage, and it reaches out into the community that surrounds it for kids that wouldn't otherwise be able to go to school. And that's the only meal they get every day. The Chamber of Commerce has been a close partner of ours, and they've come in on many occasions with the day of service with us. And I don't want to neglect to say this, the Christmas Giving Tree has been a huge outreach into this community for children who otherwise would not receive Christmas gifts in this community. So I pared this list down because I wanted to say that they will know we are Christians by our love. And I see that every day. As you all work within the ministries of OVCF to reach out into the community. And we all know the phrase that actions speak louder than words, and that's so true. So we serve, and we will continue to serve here at OVCF, number one, to be obedient to Christ. It is an act of worship. I had a conversation with a student one time as we were slicing apples for something, and I said, did you know you could, don't take your thumb off while we're talking, but did you know that you can slice apples and it be worship? And he's like, really? Because I thought you had to be standing up and singing and wearing a tie for that to be worship. If you're not doing that, it's not. No. Back out of that idea. Worship is when you come into communion with God because you're bowing your life to Him. And if you're bowing your life to Him by cutting apples for a program that's going to feed kids, if you're bowing your life to Him because you come on Sunday morning and you're singing and you're reflecting on what He's done for you and you're praising Him for that, those are all worship. And so we serve to be obedient to Christ and express His love to our neighbors. And we'll continue to do that. The second thing is the second way that we reach into the community is through missions. And this is into the whole world, but also into our community. And so I wanted to share just some things that from our OVCF budget. We don't have regular presentations where we just share, hey, this is where your funding goes. But I did get into the budget and just pull some numbers out because I thought it would be important for you to see dollar-wise how we're reaching out into the world. So in Matthew 28, Jesus left his disciples with this thought. He says, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey what I have commanded you. So I just want to give you a quick overview of how financially we are doing that, and we're supporting Jesus' instructions to make disciples. Our benevolence and outreach fund, combined with our mission fund, combined with the special Easter missions offering that we do every year, totals over $20,000 that goes to support missions and ministries in the community and in the world. It's fantastic. Just to give you a quick breakdown, I like numbers. I worked at a bank for a long time. I put Bill to sleep with numbers in our staff meetings occasionally, and we have to kick him under the table and say, hey, wake up. Ryan's done talking about numbers. Okay, good. He never falls asleep on me. He's a good guy. But our missions fund, we have $10,000 specifically earmarked for missions. And then our missions Easter offering was a little over $5,000 this year. And our benevolence and outreach, which both of those go to support local folks in the community, whether they're on hard times or whether they need a little bit of financial assistance for some reason, all of that comes up to be just around $20,000. If you're curious what specific ministries we support, I'm just going to go through a list here and kind of tell you how we do that. We support Hilltop Christian Camp, which is in Brown County. We send faculty there. Hope and I go over every summer for 2 weeks. We have pulled in other personnel from this church community and body to be involved in that, and we always have a fantastic time. And then the church has actually kicked in over $3,000 in financial support for students to be able to get scholarships to go to camp, and that's pretty significant. We support Youth for Christ in our community. Youth for Christ is an organization that reaches out to unchurched high school students. And so we have a chapter here in Owen County that we support. We support Revive Liberia. Revive Liberia is led by Phil and Karen Eckert, and it has branched out now into a number of different things. And one of the things we support through Revive Liberia is some of their pastors and paying their salaries for those pastors at $50 a month. And then we also support, this is going to sound crass, but they call it the old folks home. And I remember the first time they called it the old folks home, I said, shouldn't you call it a retirement center or a nursing home? Just call them old folks. That seems disrespectful. And they said, well, we don't have any nurses and none of us are retired, so just call it the old folks home. I said, okay, I want to be respectful in how I say it. But that's what it says, great big in lettering right on the side of the building. I've seen it with my own eyes when I was there with Phil. Old folks home. So we support the old folks home as well. And Phil and Karen have done a tremendous job. That facility was in squalor. They wouldn't actually let us into the building because it was so bad. Phil and Karen have paid through contributions from others to Revive Liberia to not only clean the facility, but to provide beds, to provide blankets. They were sleeping on the floor on grungy old mats. And so they actually have beds in those facilities now. And no one was taking care of those folks. They'd been completely neglected. And Revive Liberia was working in the vicinity and said, we have to do something. We can't leave these folks to their own. And so OVCF has had an impact through that channel also. Weekday religious education uses our facility, and we have a number of folks here at OVCF who are involved in weekday religious education and teach on a regular basis. Operation Christmas Child is coming up here very soon, and many people have been already taking boxes home. That's why the stack keeps dwindling and Don keeps refilling. And so we have a number of folks who have supported international missions through Samaritan's Purse with that. And then we've taken a couple of local mission trips. This church has been ascending church, and we're looking at possibly doing another trip at the end of 2019. So that's on the horizon as well. I just want to briefly share with you how impactful this has been for me, especially the Easter Missions offering. I can still remember exactly where I was sitting in the leadership meeting when we were talking about how we could use that Easter mission or the Easter offering and make it a special offering. Was it going to go to the building fund, or could we put it into savings? What could we do with it? And I still remember when one of our leaders piped up and said, why don't we give it away? And I said, what do you mean give it away? And that verse, Jesus came to serve, not to be served, popped into my brain. And I felt really humbled to be working with men who would say, why don't we give this away? Well, let's bless the ministries that we support with it. Let's bless the missions that we support, because we know they're always so strapped. They never have extra cash. They're always asking. There's more work than they can do without those funds. And so let's give it away. And I still remember, we've done that every Easter now for several years, and we'll continue to support missions. I want to end just by talking a little bit about outreach, because that's the last way, or the third way in which, the third avenue in which we reach out into our community. This verse comes from Ephesians chapter 3, and I've cut it down a little bit. If you read Paul's writings, a lot of times he has all these like parenthetical phrases. I have to go back and actually chart the sentence in order to find the thought in it sometimes. So I've parred it down. This comes from Ephesians chapter 3. God's intent was that now, listen to this, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known according to his purpose. Did you catch that? It's through the church that God intends to spread the good news. That manifold wisdom of God is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it's through the church. The church is the body that carries that. It's the vessel of the good news. The church is the avenue by which God reveals his power and love and grace to those around us. We demonstrate that through missions and through service. We have it and the world needs it. And so I wanted to just finish with a couple of stats, because I think what we have seen come from this church body in the last few years has just blown my doors off. But we're not done yet. And so I want to just share some statistics. And I can't claim that these are 100% accurate, but they're the most accurate statistics I could find. The population statistics for Owen County, about 21,000. If we include Northwest Monroe County into that, we add another 10,000 to 15,000 people. So if you were to put a pin in a map where OVCF sits and draw a radius, a circle around OVCF, you would see that we have about 30,000 to 45,000 people in our vicinity. 30,000 to 45,000. Now, if you look at the number of churches that exist in our area, there's about 60 or 70 churches that exist in our area. And if we just estimate that every church has an average attendance of 200. Now, there are a lot of small churches in that vicinity. There's not a lot of 200 in attendance churches. But if we estimate, because we need to just come up with a figure, that puts somewhere in the vicinity of 15,000 to 18,000 people attending church regularly in our area. What about the rest? What about the other 12 to 35,000 people? We live in an unreached area by that standard. We're not done yet. And so it's important that we not lose sight of the mission and the vision to connect people to Jesus, to be passionate pursuers of Jesus, to be models of truth and love, and to continue to be involved in our community, because your neighbors and my neighbors and the people across the street and those that we work with, they need him. And we have him. So what can we do to connect people to Jesus? I say we live a gospel-saturated life, that we be bold and that we take time for people. If we'll do those things, we'll live a gospel-saturated life in front of them, and they'll be drawn to Jesus on their own. I'd like to close our time in prayer, and then I'm going to turn it back over to Bill. Would you pray with me? Lord God, thank you so much for blessing us so richly. And as we celebrate today all that you have done through us, we recognize that it has been a work of your Holy Spirit. And so, God, we just say thank you that you did not withhold your Holy Spirit from us, that you did not withhold Jesus from us, but, God, you have given us so much joy, so much satisfaction in watching you work. And, God, we just pray that we can continue to get out of the way and let you do that, that we can be sucked into it and be a part of it. So, Lord, I pray that each one of us would always remember our first love, that we would not be sidetracked or distracted, that we would not lose heart, that we would not quit, that we would not give up, that God, your Holy Spirit, which is in us, would drive us on in joy and in love and in truth. God, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just want to take about 10 minutes and talk to you about what's happening now. Wayne and Mark have some papers. If you would like to have a copy of what I'm going to talk about, you're welcome. Just tell them you want one. We'll while they're passing that out, we'll go ahead and get started in order to save a little bit of time. At 1 o'clock, we're going to have the Chamber of Commerce is going to be here for a ribbon cutting, as well as a celebration, a short dedication of our new addition. So our plan is to be done with this within 10 minutes. Set tables up and eat. and I know that you're ready to eat, so am I. So let's move on. Several months ago, after the building was just about done, the leaders looked at me and said, "We need another team getting started. We don't." And the whole idea was not to call it a building team, because there was a whole lot more to do than just a building. So it was designed, and I said, "You put the team together, Bill. You do what you needed to be done." And so I called it FIT. And it's called Future Initiative Team. And I want to introduce, first of all, the team members. I sent out emails. Some of them couldn't do it. But these folks, I'm going to ask them to stand so that we know who they are. The first one is Pastor Bill. I'm already standing. Wayne Ackerson. Maddie Arnett. Maddie's there. Matt Beckwith cannot be here because of Mary's mom, Phil Eckert, and I think he's in the back, is he not? Okay, he's teaching today. Daniel Hamlin, Dick Hogan, Diana Markland, Mark and Don Murphy, and Don's out there with a baby, and then Matt, Mark Truesdale. Mark, I know, is it Mark? You want to stand? Yeah, okay. These guys, and thank you. These guys and ladies have been working hard. What we did was, the first meeting, we just got together and we brainstormed. And I said, what needs to be done? What do you think needs to be done? And we had this humongous list. I wrote them all down on a whiteboard. A brainstorm is where you just shoot out ideas. You don't make any judgments on them. You just shoot them out. And so then the second meeting we met. Well, what we actually did was thanks to the advice of somebody that was in the room who knows some things more than I do with leadership, said, "I think we need to look at big ticket items, medium ticket items, and things that need done that are not ticket items but just need done." So that's what we did. And then I took it to the leaders, and what you see are going to be the leadership's ideas of what needs to be done now. And the first thing is safety. These are things that need to be done now. For example, putting a crash bar on this door. We had Ryan White come, and he's, of course, with the state police. He told us, "Bill, during your worship, you need one door open and one door only, and that's that one right there. Every other door needs to be closed and locked." And so now that that is implemented back there, that door in the back will be locked. These are locked, but this one has a crash bar that if anything happens, we're busting out and we're gone. And this one here, we're getting a crash bar. A guy came this past week to look at it. Every other door has a crash bar on it, and that is because of all that's happening in the world. We don't want to take that chance. And if they're going to come in, they're going to come in through one door. And Chris always is there, and he's big, you know. And we're also going to be working on a safety team. I've talked to a couple of our police officers about a safety team, and so we'll get that together. So that's part of the safety issue. You can see we're also going to get an AED. Linda St. John is working on that with Diana, and that is one of those essential things that every organization is now almost required to have, but we do not. And other things. Okay, the second thing is the parking lot lights. If you're here at night, there are no lights. Billy has graciously said, "I will take care of that." And so he's been struggling with cancer, and so has been able, with his two boys, been able to do things when he is able to. And so be praying for Billy, but also we will have parking lot lights for those of you who are up here at night. And then the third thing is handicap and visitor signage. We're going to be putting new handicap signs up and visitor signs, and they're going to be not on the ground where they're hidden, but they'll be up where people can see them. And so we're working on that. We also feel like there's a big need for a storage shed. The one we have is really, really tiny, and we need storage. I mean, we're out of room. And we're storing things, so we'll be doing that. And so we're actually looking into a bigger building you know, one that's going to be like a garage, have a garage door on it with another room and or another door and stuff like that. So we're working towards that. The other thing is, the next thing is aesthetics. By aesthetics is what do people see? We are working on a sign. You probably have noticed that you can go by here and never see us, you know. And so if you drive out of Spencer and you go by Brinson's insurance company, you'll see OVCF Take Me Home. That's because I called him about it, and so he wants us to take that sign home. And it's a scrolling sign. We have other things we would need to do, but we do have some folks who are checking into signs for us so that when people drive by here, they not only know we are here, but if we have special announcements to make, we can make them so that people can see. That's part of the aesthetics. The sixth thing is the kitchen. And Maddie is yip over there going like this. And that is one of the things that we've asked Maddie to put a team together to put to expand our kitchen. Now that the nursery is open, because the nursery's moved in, we're going to take this kitchen and move it into the nursery. And so Maddie is supposed to be working with someone to design that. And those of you who, ladies and guys, who are in the kitchen at any time, two is a crowd. You know, and so we want to expand that, give some more room, and you know, then we can have more pitch-ins. I don't know how that works. And then we're also storage is a priority for us. The big one, one of the big ticket items, other than the building out front, I hate to say it has taken a back seat, but it moves down the list because there are things that need done before that is done, and one of them is a parking lot expansion. And we are looking at this land over here that is, a lot of it is wet anyway, but putting the parking lot there. And we will tell you this, that someday you're going to come in here and those trees are going to be gone. There are three dead ones already. But these trees like to drop berries on people's cars, and if you have ever had that happen, you know they don't come off. But the reason also is because we need to get into that property. So what we're looking at is going up this way, a one way down this way, and then going out. We're looking into all of that. But here's the deal: Scott has agreed to take the trees down for us. If you want any of that wood, we're going to tell you when he's taking it down, you come get it. Otherwise, we'll either carry it away and pay for it to be carried away, or we'll take it in the back and have to burn it. So if you have a fireplace, you have a wood burner, wood's yours. Come get it, take it down, and cut it up and take it away. But we'll let you know, and we'll probably give you like a two-week window to do that, and then go from there. And the final thing is a miscellaneous there, and a lot of that would be the building addition this way, which is not a dead issue, but before we do that, we have to do that because we lose parking when we do that. So we have to get that done first. But the leaders have maintained the whole mentality that we've had all along is we will pay cash for it. That is one of the good things about the addition back there. And I hope that you will stay for our dedication at 1:00 because we're going to tell you a little bit of the story there. But the main story is we paid cash for that whole thing and we don't owe anything. We have no debt. And God has been good to us that way, and we want to maintain that so that we can continue to do the things that Ryan talked about this morning. So, did anybody not get a copy that wanted one of these? Okay, we'll have some more if you are interested in it. This is part of the future initiatives that we have going. We're going to take these as we can. We've kind of prioritized some of them, the safety issues we cannot do away with. We have to get the crash bar. We have to get the AED machine. We have to get our fire extinguishers up to snuff, as well as getting one back there. That is a priority. And so we are concerned about the safety of our children back there. If you've never been back there, then the check-in system is working. And Ryan could tell you more about that than I ever could, because he's been frustrated enough with setting it up. If you see him mumbling to himself sometimes, that's probably what it is. That is where we're at. With the future, the team will continue to meet. We'll continue to keep you updated. You're not going to walk in here one Sunday and find a building started over there. Okay, we will keep you informed all the way. And we're trying to prioritize things. Some of the other miscellaneous things is, oh, by the way, if you haven't looked, there's a fence up outside the nursery for a playground that's going to go in there. Our other plan is to put a bigger playground out beyond the basketball goal there, that area out there, so you can be at the shelter and your kids could be playing and you can lock them in there. And I mean, and you could put them in there and not have to worry about where they are, because the playground's around the other side of the building. And this playground here is going to be for little kids anyway. So anyway, those are some future initiatives that we have that they will cost money. And so we're going to do it as we have the money. Okay? So just want to let you know, if you have any questions, please feel free to talk to any of the people on this list that is on your list there. Or ask me, and I'll be glad to help. Ryan is taking a break from the Future Initiative team. He was heavily involved in the addition, so much so that when I talked about sometimes we get sidetracked, Ryan found himself getting sidetracked from time or two. And so he's asked not to be on the team, and that's okay, because neither he nor I need to be on everything. And so Ryan could not answer your questions. Diana can, and she probably knows more than all of us combined. But anyway, ask Diana, ask any of these folks that I've mentioned that are on the team and that stood before you, and they'll be able to help you out. Okay? So with that being said, I'm going to pray. And then I'm going to ask you if you would move the chairs, get the tables up, get the food, and so we can set up for our dinner, and then we'll plan about 1:05 to head back to the addition. So need everybody's help moving tables, chairs, and setting the food up so we can go ahead and eat. All right? So let's pray, and then we'll go ahead and do that. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for these folks. Thank you for the way you have blessed us continually. It is beyond my wildest dreams. It is beyond my imagination as to what you do. And yet, you said that I can do exceedingly far more than you can ask or think. And so, we want to cling to that promise. And so, we pray for the future of this church family. We pray that you will never help us to be so focused on buildings and things that we forget that our real mission is people. And so keep that in front of us at all times. And now we pray for the food that we're going to be eating. We ask that you will let it bless our bodies, but help us to, as we laugh and as we talk and as we joke around and as we share with each other, just deepen our friendships. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So thanks for being with us. If you would help out moving the chair.